Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Raphael O'Neill. She has some very powerful YouTubes that are available, and I recommend that you go out on YouTube and search for Raphael O'Neill, and you can get some interesting discussion on chemtrails, on geoengineering, and on several other topics. Tonight, we're going to be discussing some darker topics like mind control. We're going to be talking about something called satanic ritual abuse, which is also a very disturbing topic. It's interesting. I think Raphael has just joined us this evening. Raphael, how are you?
Good evening. Yes, hello.
How have you been?
It is a disturbing topic.
I didn't hear you. You broke up a little bit.
I'm sorry. I said it was it is a disturbing topic that we'll be dealing with this evening, amongst others.
What is your website, Raphael?
Well, I mean, as far as my YouTube channel is Nola Butterfly.
Yes. Okay.
I have a Facebook page for the chemtrail stuff, but for the broader range of topics I am liable to cover, Nola Butterfly.
You know, when I prepare for a show like this, sometimes my preparation takes me in places where I had no idea that I was going to go. Is it like that with you when you do your program?
I can't tell you how many tabs I have open on my computer, and I think we all suffer from that a little. But it ends up being category, and I've been organizing my folders and my bookmarks, and it's insane the categories I have. I mean, yeah. Especially when I started dealing in the satanic element, and I want to start off with a disclaimer.
Okay.
Usually, if you talk about Satanism, people immediately, like, their brain wants to categorize you, and they just label you as a Christian who just sees, you know, the devil or Jesus and everything. And I personally am Jewish by birth. I'm more spiritually inclined by nature. I'm not really religious, though. I you know, light the Hanukkah candles, but I believe in a connection. I have a knowledge in God. I have a faith in the God. I'm just not confident in what the name of the God is, and I don't think my God will really require that of me. So I stay out of naming my God. But Satanism has nothing to do whether you believe in God or you believe in the devil or you're an atheist. It's about what other people believe in. That Christianity is really what, like, the undoing of America. And there's a big fight against, I mean, and there's been a lot of hypocrisy, you know, in all people, all walks of life, you can find hypocrisy. But the point is, nobody is even alert or has it on their radar that there's a whole other religion that actually has more sway than they realize and has more, let's say, well, it has an agenda on the world. I mean, there is a Luciferian agenda on in this world, and it's a big claim to make if you're starting out from scratch, but there the evidence abounds, and I don't know which way you want to take this show, so I'm going to let you say some things.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Jay Parker?
I'm not exactly sure. Perhaps.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. Jay Parker is not super well known. He has a radio show. He does interviews from time to time with different people. But he claims that he grew up in a household, an Illuminati household, that was in a village in Delaware. And he claims that he went through a lot of the abuse as a child. He went through all sorts of things, you know, pedophilia, abuse. He talks about this one ritual where they would pour some kind of oil in his ear, which is horrifically painful. He talked about the whole idea of what they would do is try to traumatize children before
their trauma. And you can alter, you can program different alters differently based on the trauma that you incur. And my research went from being something I was like, you know, researching chemtrails, and my research takes me to Illuminati on the internet, you know, and it could have just stayed at that, but no, you know, the universe had to throw my way somebody who actually survived that. And my relationship for a while was with a survivor of the Illuminati, of satanic ritual abuse. And I got to see a picture of it from the inside. I mean, not, you know, it's still third party, but, you know, or second party. But I was actually part of helping him kind of tell his story and reconnect, because he had tried to, like, run away from it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I guess after as you come to maturity, you go introspective a little bit more. And I was already researching that, so I was open to it. I didn't run away when he talked about Satanic Pope, you know. But it's his story alone is worth telling, and it tells a lot. I mentioned I don't know a little bit of it in the last show, perhaps. But his father came over with Project Paperclip. And became he was a young Nazi, and he, you know, too young to have really participated in anything. But my ex-boyfriend, who shall remain nameless, and I'm going to skip a few details to keep him anonymous. But
sure.
You know, he remembers playing with his father's swastikas and then his father's army medals, because he was a major at an Air Force base. I'll say, Lackland Air Force Base. And that he met his mother there, who was groomed for the Miss America kind of blonde, platinum blonde, Maryland type. But Project Monarch, military Jesuit family, satanic family. I mean, what a hybrid. And he, you know, was one of several children and somehow killed his older brother. And his older brother was connected to Christ. So for him, he attached himself to Christ. And the programming they did to him was not able to work. He kind of just resisted it and bucked it his whole life. And there was attempts on his life later on. And he ended up working in one industry. I'm not going to be specific, but one part of the entertainment industry. And so I let us hear some other stories as to how contracts are awarded to, you know, like, for instance, the children of people involved in the Iran-Contra affairs. Or, I mean, when you, it's so much. When he talked about the abuse he went through, where his entire family, you know, basically molested him, and the Jesuit priest, and, you know, and his mother and his father, but, forgave his mother, who even worked at Bohemian Grove to save his life, you know. And she was definitely a programmed altar, and sometimes it would break down, and she would run out, but the programming would break down, and she would run to the woods and hide in the trees because she couldn't take it anymore. But she was forced to work at Bohemian Grove and do horrible things I'm not going to say on the air, but I can tell you who was named, if you like, who she was forced to service at Bohemian Grove. But that's, I don't know if you want to go there.
Wow, that's fascinating. I'm. You mentioned Jesuits there, and I'm thinking, isn't Hillary Clinton's running mate a Jesuit? I don't want to pull us into the political mire, but that's what just popped in my head.
Well, you know, when you follow the Masonic pyramid all the way up to the top, it all the roads lead back to Rome. You know, the Jesuits. Have been thrown out of every country. Their underlying, you know, and this is not, Jesuits have done a lot of good in the world. And whenever you call out a group of people, you got to be careful. You know, there's a whole anti-Semitic thing of like, it's the Jews. It's, first of all, there's a Vatican conspiracy to taint the Jews. So anything, you know, it's their plan, and then they set up the patsies, and there's patsies that'll take the fall for it. But I mean, the banking system was actually set up by the Templars. You know, to protect the money along the way on the pilgrimages, but that's going really kind of deep into it. But the program, the things they would do to him, they would put him in a closet as a kid, and he would stay there for hours or even days, and he would come out, and they would tell him to kill a kitten, and if he wouldn't kill the kitten, he'd go back into the closet.
Oh, that's horrible.
To imagine. I've got a 3-year-old. I would just destroy anyone who even, like, thought about doing that to, you know.
You know,
it makes me cry.
Let me throw something in
here. And he wouldn't be allowed to come back out until he did it.
That's the way they
program, you know. And some of that reminded me of the experiment that the Nazis, you know, that the Americans would do after the Project Paperclip brought the Nazis over. I don't know if your listeners know about that, but we opened the door to a bunch of the leading scientists in the Nazi community, so other countries wouldn't get them, and they kind of brought over some of their mind control experiments, and the U.S. was involved in some very shameful mind control experiments that are completely, declassified, what's left of them. But we have, I didn't want to cut you off for too long, but some of it sounded very similar to some of the Nazi techniques and the MK Ultra techniques of programming.
You know,
human beings.
It's so ironic because when I started studying this stuff, it took me to Rupert Sheldrake. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he's a scientist that has talked about something called morphogenic fields. And he states that there are, how can he say this, that morphogenic fields, you can almost look at them as like the memory that's inherent in nature. It's like habits, but they're also like electronic fields that organize schools of fish, flocks of birds, animals inherit.
So we're not talking about the Schumann resonance?
No, we're not talking about the Schumann resonance.
Okay.
We're talking about an electronic field that is around the earth, all through nature. And part of what it does is it explains telepathy and that, you know, how does the dog know that its owner is coming home? So, anyway, one of the things that Jay Parker was saying is that the Illuminati, what they're doing, like they were torturing that boy, making him kill the kitten, is they're actually damaging the morphogenic fields on the earth. So all of this satanic ritual abuse is aimed at a higher destruction. not just the child or the kitten, but the whole energy field of life that surrounds this planet. So
and that's what, one part of it we didn't get into in the last show, in far as even the chemtrails and the frequency aspect of the mind control. I mean, we were dealing with just general mind control because there's different layers of it. But there's definitely a vibrational assault, you know, on humanity. And the Nazis even did that with music. They changed the hertz from the music was tuned to 432, which is the natural harmonics, to 440, which is a discord which causes chaos. And then the U.S. and the international, the international, the ISO standard for music changed it in the States in 1953 to 440. So there's all this discord. And supposedly the Beatles were tuned to 432. They've been, and that's why their music can't be reproduced even today by people who play their music. But it's so subtle, but yet so fundamental. And I mean, we're learning more and more every day about vibration and frequency. And Tesla, I mean, Tesla said it all. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think of in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yeah, it's so that explains why these crazy people will do something like geoengineering and just, you know, basically kill everything. I don't think they care if their children die or if they die. It's all about either gaining power or this war that they're having against, I just use the word morphogenic field for lack of a better term, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's an energetic assault. That's why it's also, I think, I hate to quote Alex Jones because I think he's a gatekeeper and a psyop, but there is a
war
on
your mind.
Okay.
I want to talk about that.
That's not sacrilegious.
I think that's interesting. No. I have an open mind. I don't mind if people have different views of me or, you know, who knows?
No, I mean, I love getting a lot of information out of him. I saw him come on the scene after Bill Cooper making the same claims Bill Cooper made. You know, he was the first to really point out Bin Laden was going to be the fall guy. And, sorry, I got a little cold here, and I don't have a sweater. I'm over at a studio. But
you need to take a break. Go get a sweater if you need to take a break. Go ahead and take a break.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead and take a break. Get a sweater.
Sure.
There's no need.
Thank you.
There's no need to freeze.
All right.
Anyway, the whole idea of these morphic fields, that the morphic fields. There's morphic fields of mental activity, according to Rupert Sheldrake, which are not confined to the insides of our head. They extend far beyond our brain through intention and attention. And like I was saying earlier, I think the assault of the elite against the earth, the animals, the populations of humans, is also assault on our very these morphogenic fields. Otherwise, I mean, there would be no real reason to do the things that they're doing. Did I hear you come back, Raphael?
Yeah, I mean, it is a full spectrum dominance. It is about controlling everything, and I think they've also made some mistakes in trying to. I have kind of different theories that I'm not wanting to confuse people on or open a can of worms or there's. You know, I think that trying to get out into space, there was a lot of damage done. You know, they were nuking the atmosphere. They've been bombarding it with frequency. And I think on one level, there's the curious scientist who's just like, you know, gone wild in a lab. But on another level, there is definitely an intelligent occult ruling elite who is very in tune to everything that the that is, you know, that is relevant to life. And then there's a, I mean, I really think the conspiracy, when you follow the conspiracy, even if you go past Jesuit, I mean, it's so intelligent that it is, it's otherworldly. And I think there is intelligent, and I don't mean otherworldly like another planet, you know, for another dimension. And getting us away from our frequency and our resonance, yes, absolutely, getting us away from knowing ourselves, getting us away from realizing we're spiritual beings. We're just trapped in this dimension, and we think we're limited by it, but we're actually very powerful, and we're scalar machines ourselves. I'm trying to look into new, I'm kind of frustrated trying to reach officials to respond to this stuff. I'm looking at solutions, and I've been looking at Sharon Daphna's talking about Organite. Have you heard about Organite energy?
No. Tell us, please.
I'm still learning some myself. These little chem busters, people are making them. They're part metal shavings, part quartz, part coil, and then they put them in these, some people put them in beeswax, some put it in these polysynthetic resins that squeeze on it, and supposedly they neutralize the air around it, and they work with argon energy, which is part of our energy. I mean, and Sharon Daphne says, you know, we are the earth, we are the sky. So part of, you know, they're doing their spraying, and there's not really a lot we can do to stop that. But some people have had luck using the argons, the organites, locally, and putting them like by smart meters, by their iPhones, anything that, and it neutralizes the radiation. So it's an interesting aspect. I do like the idea of being able to do something about it, at least in my area, to protect myself and my family. So a few of us were really responding well to that locally. We're going to form a group and try to make a few of those and see if we can start busting up chems. They're getting rain after these, after they put out the organs. And Wilhelm, oh gosh, this is all new to me, I'm sorry. Wilhelm, what is the name of the gentleman?
Wilhelm Reich?
Reich? He was doing studies on that. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Okay. And ultimately, you know, when you're looking at these chemtrails and you get demoralized by them and they're taking away your sun and your vitamin D, it could really chip away at your personal energy, you know, and your, you know, you could, it allows fear. And some people say, you know, it's the archons and they're feeding off of your dark energy. I don't really know any of that. I know it's some dark entities that are feeding off of the life force and, you know, on a path to oblivion, and they don't care who they take with them.
What's your thought on
that? We are powerful scalar machines, and it's about activating that. But if we're watching television, if we're listening to the news, if we're subscribing to the bullshit, then our frequency is going to be off.
That's very interesting. What do you think about cell phones then? I guess cell phones could also be throwing us off.
Well, we are getting bombarded, and the cell towers are putting out frequencies like way more than they need to for actually what it is they're supposed to be. And you can never find a good signal, you know, yet you've got, you know, all these cell towers pointing at you, and people are getting, you know, you can kind of see them sometimes in clusters, and you're like, what just happened? In my neighborhood, when, you know, there's a series of heart attacks within like 10 days.
How many people?
Like three that I knew and a fourth one I'd heard. Just
really?
Like
within what time frame?
Within 10 days. It was around
within,
the jazz festival.
Within 10 days?
Yeah, and I've heard other people mentioning that as a, you know, predicting that there would be an increase in ambulances and, you know, at certain events where these things are at. I'm not really equipped on I hear people rattling off the numbers on the amount of electromagnetic exposure we're getting. I mean, the contamination is absurd, which if there's something to the organite, then all the more reason to put it in your house or underneath your smart meter. I will try anything at this point, because being helpless is not my idea of fun.
And that stuff is supposed to absorb the electromagnetic energy?
It neutralizes it somehow. And I don't have any science to it. And officially, the scientific community says argon doesn't exist. But, officially, yep. The medical community says Morgellons doesn't exist. And we talked about that last time. And it definitely is a real disease.
It's interesting. There's a lot of things that science says that is very strange. Like, one of the things they insist on is that nature is mechanical or machine-like, that the universe is like a machine, and animals and plants are like machines, and humans are basically robots with brains that are genetically programmed. It's almost like science has developed this whole dogma. You know, that another dogma is that the laws and the constants of nature are fixed, and that matter is unconscious, and the whole universe is made up of unconscious matter. You know, there's just a lot of strangeness.
Yeah, I call that pseudoscience. There's a lot of pseudoscience, and they're in the process of killing God, but they're replacing it with science. You must get your vaccines, and they're going to make it mandatory because there's no choice to it, right? Everything is cut and dry because science, but never mind. What was it? Mark Twain said there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. Three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. And it's true. It's never about the studies they do, but the studies they don't and what they've left out. And there was that CDC whistleblower that gave testimony to Congress admitting that they just oopsie doopsies shredded a bunch of documents that proved black kids were more likely to get autism from their vaccines than white kids.
Oh.
I mean...
I just heard there's been another outbreak where kids are showing up paralyzed after they get their vaccines.
Well, in India, there are more cases. There are like thousands more cases of paralysis than there was of wild-caught polio. But when you get it from the vaccine, they don't call it polio when you get paralysis. So they call it something else, which kind of makes it look like they were effective in eradicating polio. My girlfriend's brother died from polio. He got from the polio vaccine. So, it was a big disaster in the United States as well. And what people don't realize about polio, because that's the big, like, well, what about polio? That was the savior. That's why we're, like, putting up with all the inconveniences about vaccines now, because polio... Now we're scared of measles like it's a damn plague. If we got nutrition and vitamin A, the risk goes way down. I mean, there's risk in life, first of all, and there's definitely a lot of risk in vaccines, and they don't want you to know about it. They say it's safe and effective, and it's not. But what happened? Why were we living with a polio bug for millions of years or whatever in our digestive tract, whatever, not a problem, except a few cases of rare child paralysis. But all of a sudden it happened in clusters, and they started using lead and arsenic compounds as a pesticide. So that was doing nerve damage, and now the polio can go up and like frolic in the nervous system and do all kinds of damage it doesn't necessarily do. So when you get a polio vaccine, you don't know that you would have been one of the people that would have gotten polio from the vaccine, because you already have heavy metal toxicity. And now where polio is still prevalent in the world is in places where there's a huge disaster. The World Health Organization dug into the mountains of the Himalayas, and they dug into an arsenic reserve by accident, let's hope, And they contaminated the water supply for three countries, I understand, India, with Pakistan or something. That's the region where polio was still thriving today, or thriving, not really thriving, but making occurrences. But the lead and the arsenic in these people's like bodies is out the roof. So there's more nerve damage and more opportunity for polio to be troublesome.
Can you tell us about your last program where you interviewed the guy in the military that had been exposed to some kind of carcinogen?
He had been exposed to some kind of carcinogen, but he said his cancer was viral. So I'm thinking he was exposed to some kind of vaccine, because 27 of his men had gotten the same cancer, which is a rare bone cancer. And I saw that man's skin bleed. Like, the pores, like instead of sweating, I saw blood coming out, and that was part of the cancer, and it's this rare cancer, and 27 of his men, or whatever that number was, have that same cancer. And I think, you know, one of the things, there's a very huge viral element to vaccines, especially in the bioweapons program, and it's been a great method of delivery for, well, AIDS was distributed to the Hep B vaccine to the gay community of New York and the black community of the Congo, the heterosexual community of the Congo. At the same time, Dr. Leonard Horowitz does a wonderful research expose on it, and he blows it wide open. Yeah, I mean, the more you look at the world, the more nothing is really as it's being presented. And I think the whole vaccine thing, I mean, if it had any merit to it, let's just put it this way. The CIA bioweapon program completely annihilates it. And I have friends that work for the Clinton administration, which is now getting a lot of heat. I don't know if you've been following that, but...
Very much so.
My friends left that organization. They were all optimistic and happy to work with the Clinton organization. They left that organization. They also saw how different groups of people get different batches of vaccines. I mean, it's human experimentation. If you really want to be a guinea pig, go ahead, but don't make it mandatory, because we're going to have a problem. And it's all about control, control, control. They want to make vaccines mandatory. They want to make your weather... I mean, so the last show, I interviewed this captain who was ordered to deliver 5,226 body bags to New Orleans. 11 days prior to Katrina, which is kind of insane to fathom, especially since, you know, it wasn't even the name storm. It wasn't in the Gulf. Took him about 3 days, 8 days before he had all those body bags focused on New Orleans, and they didn't tell him to organize supplies or water or food, or it was just body bags. And I mean, it's just beyond belief. They knew with 210% accuracy, because of satellites, that the storm was going to hit New Orleans.
Is that the main reason that you were interviewing him? Is because he knew, I guess the government knew that Katrina was going to happen, and he was involved in bringing in the body bags?
That was his job, delivering supplies. And when I heard that, I said, do you mind if I... It was just a coincidence. I ran into him, you know, the homeless veteran, and just, you know, we got to talking, and that was his story. And I said, can I get that? And, you know, he's part of his cancer, is part of the issue with his homelessness or whatever. He was involved with the veterans organization down here. So I got his story. I mean, it was just very lucky, random, fortunate story to find, and to get somebody who was willing and felt good about it, like he hadn't really talked to anyone about that. And it was pretty intense for him. And yeah, he's fighting this cancer. So one of the things that, like, you know, Gulf War syndrome, that the thing about it is people are getting Gulf War syndrome that weren't over in the Gulf War. And there are
really?
People who didn't get vaccinated that didn't get Gulf War syndrome. And not only that, but the people that get Gulf War syndrome, when they come home, they contaminate their partners and they get their doctor sick. Because it's not just
they even get their
exposure.
Doctor sick? Are
they're,
you saying they
that
can make,
is
they can make their doctor sick?
I'm saying that it's something contagious, something that they got from the vaccines. That's what.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not here presenting a paper that you can, you know. I mean, this, I've come across different stuff on my research. You're welcome to check that for yourself, but I'm absolutely certain.
My goodness. That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the military is the first group of people that, you know, soldiers and captains and at all levels, they're willing to experiment with the people who are willing to lay down their life for this country. So, yeah, Uncle Sam doesn't seem to be very grateful to, and especially the way we treat returning veterans. It's absolutely shameful.
You know, we have a very interesting situation in Syria. We got this Bashar al-Assad, the leader of Syria, and he's working with Putin, and they're fighting against ISIS. And I would think that we would be working with Russia to fight against ISIS. But what I'm hearing out of Washington, D.C. is all this negative press that we're maybe going to go to war against Russia. And, I mean, I find this is insane. You know, risking thermonuclear war.
Doesn't it feel like energetic warfare? I mean, we're always going to be scared of Russia. Then we have that, like, Bay of Pigs. And I mean, okay, so are we going back to 1984 George Orwell? You know,
yeah.
Is this just keep the people rattled and, but, you know, somebody could be crazy enough one day to actually do it, you know? And then you have all these prophecies of how they're going to end. They're going to stir up all this hatred. Then they're going to create World War III. And then how are they going to bring the world back after they do that together, if they create all this hatred? Well, there's going to be Project Bluebeam, you know, the alien invasion. So that's part of the scenario we're all kind of looking for in a way. But I think it's important not to be looking for it. I think it's important. I think that's what they also want you to be looking for, because when you look for it, the mind is the imagination is the creation maker, and it's your creation maker. So if you're not occupying your creation maker and they can steal it towards their agenda, then they've got more creation maker power to them. So it's really important to occupy your body, reclaim your mind, reclaim your soul and keep, you know, keep the faith and keep a vision in your mind of what you want for the world that has nothing to do with them, you know. And that's where getting off the grid would be wonderful. You know, the more we can do that, the more we can get together in communities. You know, if the grid goes down, it won't matter, because people are the power, people are the wealth. But we're stuck in this money system where we live in lack in this world.
Was there ever a time when the world was stranger than it is right now? I mean, have you ever in your past life, I can't remember anything as strange as things are right now in terms of, you know, the mainstream media.
This election is the craziest one I've ever seen. I mean, and they're all pretty crazy by nature and definition, but this one is unreal.
It is. I feel like the mainstream news outlets are completely and 100% false. I mean, it used to be you'd get 50-50 or some mixture thereof, but now it's just like blatant garbage and they don't care. And I wonder sometimes, you know, Or is it just this little small community of people that sees this? Does, you know, I don't even really talk to too many people that are what I might call in the matrix. So I don't know what it is they're thinking. Are they just so distracted they're not paying any attention? Or, you know, do you have these thoughts?
Because I try to bridge the gap between my old school friends and my new school friends since I've awoken, and I try to kind of invite those along, like in social media, that I kind of try to talk to a wide audience, but it's hard. It gets harder and harder, and it's hard. It's definitely hard for me to sometimes I because I do have a circle of friends who I can talk to. I take it for granted that the whole world is hip, you know, is awakening at a greater level than I'm hoping. And I think there is a great awakening, and I do run into it in the street and have random awesome conversation with strangers. But it's definitely. There is such a disconnect. Some people are really plugged into the programming. And I kind of want to say this, to put this out there, but if I ever offend anyone, and I'm all about love, I don't care about women's rights. I don't care about, please excuse me, gay rights or black rights. I only care about human rights. And I think that that's the important thing, that if your human rights been violated, yay or nay. If your human rights have been violated, I'm, you know, up and standing for you. Besides that, I'm like, I'm not. You're not going to use woman rights. Like, I'm not voting for Hillary because she's a woman. That's sexist and stupid. You know, there's a lot of people who vote like that, and they're still in, like, some two-dimensional realm, and there's different layers of consciousness, and unfortunately it seems to be the denser, lower level of consciousness that's ruling in politics. But I think this election got a lot of people kind of disgruntled with both sides more than any other election. Can we say that?
Have you, and I don't want to go left or right here, but I'll just throw this out there. Have you ever looked at Roger Stone's book, Clinton's War on Women?
Clinton's War on?
Clinton's War on Women by Roger Stone. Have you ever seen that book yet?
Oh, no, but I know a few anecdotes, but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she's as vile as the vilest of the lot in them. She didn't get there for being
book.
A sweetheart.
You have to read
and,
this
and, of
book.
Course, you know, it all started with Iran-Contra.
Yes.
You know, that was what they're...
Yes, they were flying... $100 million of drugs, of cocaine, into Mena, Arkansas every month. And, you know, good old Bill was governor of Arkansas at this time. They just let it come in. Of course, Bush Sr. was in charge of the whole operation. They had a CIA guy named Barry Seals who was the pilot flying it in. All the money was laundered through the Rose Law Firm where Hillary worked. But, you know, I mean, we're obsessing about emails, which, I mean, there's some bad stuff going
on
in
these
emails.
It's so after the fact for me, but if
yes.
you want to get her on emails, go ahead. Just
go ahead, right?
Put the dog out of its misery, please. I mean, just, you know, no harm to her. Just put her to pasture, please. Is it even her or is it a clone? I don't even know. But there's that element too. You know, they got these clones now that they can.
Sounds crazy.
Clones or doubles or it does. But I mean, they've been at it. Look, if you're starting to hear about it, they've been at it for 30 or 40 years.
Oh my goodness.
But by the time you start to hear about it, they're going to start doing that. But I don't know. I don't know how she's held up this long. She's pretty phenomenal on that.
Well, I wonder if the original Hillary didn't die the day she collapsed on September 11th, you know, when they threw her into the van and then...
Well, but the analysis on that, it seemed like it was staged because how long it took the van to come should have been right there. There's that. There's a whole other angle that actually she was getting too flaunty in your face, even though she was up for it because she was the loyal to the CFR and the right powers that be and all that. She was too arrogant. She's represented too much. Everybody knows the serpent's head. So that they were actually wanting to exit her, but she's also making a lot of money by speaking engagements and all the campaign funds. So she doesn't want to stop the gravy train too early because that'll piss off all the people that gave the money for the funding. So that's one angle of it, is that she was going to be out of the race and they just needed to know. Now they're kind of making a white hat coup, counter coup, supposedly.
The whole thing about the clones really has me interested. As crazy as that sounds, and I'm glad to hear you brought that up because, I mean, how far down does this rabbit hole go? I mean, how can
anything
one person look
the creator so has made that they are going to dip into? I think it's as simple as that. If it's creation.
Really?
Creating species, it's not a mindset that the average human being, I believe the average human being, I think we're essentially good. I think there's a psychopath element that does potentially, you know, that does pop up amongst the population. But I think also things like the Satanism is to create more of that, more disassociation, more...
Mm-hmm.
It's all robbing you from source, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
From knowing who you are and your ultimate power.
But the thing with the Hillary thing that I think is so amazing is I have never seen a person that can look so different in just a few days.
And that's the thing that kind of makes you wonder. And it could be a double. I mean, they look, have you heard about you've heard about Fall, right? Fall McCartney?
Yeah.
The whole rumor that, Paul died in an accident one day and Fall was brought up. And there's kind of a joy that the Illuminati has in resurrecting different people. I mean, it's just kind of this thing that's fun to do and gets done. I mean, with all the psyops and false flags and there's a lot of that going around.
You know, to me, sometimes the alternate media is, I don't know, they're kind of slow or I'm surprised that no one in the alternate media, except maybe Dr. Fetzer, brought up the whole thing with, Hillary as potentially a clone, who knows, but how does a person like her go from having seizures, collapsing, coughing fits that last 5 minutes? Did you see any of the coughing fits where she would, oh, it was horrible. And then suddenly, poof, she's all better now.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's phenomenal. Or just what, a few days of rest, right?
Exactly.
She transforms like no woman I've seen. I mean, we all have the ability to transform a little bit, but that's quite a transformation. No, you're right. And I've just seen some of these photos that they're extreme, and that she would look younger after she looked so horrible in some of these shots.
Right.
In later shots, it's quite
when
something.
She was about. And you're going to think I'm crazy for saying this, probably. But when she was at like 30 years old, 30, 35, I'm thinking, I don't know the exact age. There was a time there of about 5 or 10 years where I think she was a very attractive woman. And then I think it was her own thoughts that just, did something to her, really horrible. And now I just wonder if we're seeing two or three Hillarys. And they're kind of the people, that are pulling the strings are just kind of laughing at us. Like, these people are, clueless. Anyway.
Well, you know who has a twin? I mean, like for instance, like there's a twin with the astronaut who went up to the, you know, and that some people are you know, beginning
Buzz
to question
Aldrin?
Whether it's an astronaut. Yes, and his twin went up there. And look, I was looking at the International Space Station for a few months to see what the live cam was showing, and I never saw anything of interest. You know, sometimes they would show the globe, or sometimes they would show inside. Then one time he came by, they never are in the room floating for more than 2 minutes, which is how long I believe you can hold zero gravity. And then when he passed by the camera, he let his hand float up to his eye and blocked his eye.
Really?
Buzz, no, this is the guy who's married to the woman who, Gifford's lady who got shot.
Can't think of the name now.
The Gifford's lady who got shot, she was in the Democratic, and that was, you know, some people say it was a psyop, because there was a shooting,
I don't remember. His name.
Okay, the Giffords, she's the blonde politician. She got shot in the head. Her husband was an astronaut. And
I remember the story.
He was up in the International Space Station before, but now supposedly it's his twin brother that went up the last time. And they happened to mention something about, in his eyes, being up in space, apparently, that for that long changes your eyes. And I thought
really?
It was interesting that he had covered it. They made some sort of comment like that, which I think is just a bull, but that he covered up his eyes when he went by the camera like that. So there, is it the same guy that had an operation and they're saying it's the twin brother, or is it a twin somebody else that's not a twin brother that they're trying to make look like a twin brother? You know, there's a lot of play and you've seen like, I can't remember her name, who was pregnant, but the baby was not really in her stomach.
What?
The pillow. It wasn't Beyonce. And I hate to go on your show and reference a bunch of things I don't remember the exact names of, but that was something that my ex-boyfriend would tell me, like that there would be breeders, right? You would think somebody, some celebrity has a kid, right? But that kid is actually somebody else's kid. Within the Illuminati, yeah, certain people get moved around and get given to certain families and for different reasons. I don't quite understand it, but, you know, there's some women who are breeders. Now, we just had Halloween, and I think it's only right that if we're going to have the show, we're going to take a moment to acknowledge the souls that were taken in sacrifice at this time of year. There's a increase of missing children, there's an increase of sacrifice, and from what I've heard from my ex-boyfriend, that's one of the holy sacred days in their religion. And he went out to a place in like Laurel Canyon area as a kid and attended human sacrifice with like 200 people in the audience.
Yeah.
You know, and they had the spiked hats, and it was like eyes wide shut. The last movie of Kubrick, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you watch these movies and they make no sense. I remember watching Eyes Wide Shut as a kid, and I'm like, who the hell thinks of these things? You know, like what was the point of that movie? You know, and there's so many movies. Every time now that I understand Illuminati symbolism and I understand Satanism. All these movies that made no sense before make total sense. It's you know, these are little snippets of the way the world is here. Let me see.
What a world. It's getting stranger all the time. Raphael, we are actually almost all the way past our hour already. And I want you to have the chance to talk about your show. You've got a book out, don't you? And any other thing that you wanted to plug?
Well, thank you. I have a children's book called Funny Clouds, A Chemtrail Tale. It's for children and parents who don't want to lie to them, and also parents who are activists or adults who want to easy introductory outreach tool that helps counteract some of the propaganda. Because a lot of people I know that received a great education remember learning there were eight classifications of clouds, and now there's like 40 or 50. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That what changed in our atmosphere that is changing the cloud classifications? I mean, that there needs to be a documentary made on that. And basically, there's some pressing questions I think need to be mentioned in the climate change conversation. Primarily, the fact that climate engineering is completely left out of the discussion and is way more relevant than the meteorological community and the scientific community want to acknowledge. It is prevalent, whether it is deliberate, accidental, or a mixture of both. Not only what we see coming out of the planes, but the ability to move the jet stream around with different frequencies. It's absolutely essential and outrageous that it's not part of the conversation in climate change debate. And right now, like, even meteorologists don't even want to talk about climate change. It's just so controversial, much less chemtrails. But my organization, Chemtrail Awareness Now, NOLA, and Climate Change Concerned Citizens, both can be found on Facebook. And we're trying to break the silence and bridge the gap and create a hub where we keep it in the consciousness of people, especially as scientists and the world leaders and the New World Order agenda is wanting to impose geoengineering on us. Whether you believe chemtrails are real or not, they want to do this. They want to spray millions of tons of particles into the stratosphere, atmosphere, to deflect global warming, which actually also deflects the heat all the way around and makes it hotter, which is why the sun is now radiating like it's like nuking you now. It's not like you bake in the sun anymore. So the sun is bouncing off of greater surfaces with all these particles being deployed. Whether you want to say it's deliberate or accidental, we're seeing persistent contrails in conditions that should not yield persistent contrails. So we're confident that this is a deliberate program, and we're trying to keep the conversation or get the conversation into the limelight. So find us on Facebook or on YouTube, or you can find the book Funny Clouds, A Chemtrail Tale on Amazon.com. And it doesn't matter what they're trying to do to you or to your mind, just claim it. Claim your own mind and know that that you are the master of you, unless you don't know that, and then somebody else will be.
Thanks, Raphael. It's always a pleasure. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Ciao.
Bye-bye.